You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down to earth.
Spanning the globe to bring you the latest developments in medical cannabis, adult marijuana, industrial hemp, and spiritual ganja.
We love the earth.
It's time for the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville. Now, here's your host, Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Friday, November 10th, 2017, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. It's also got to be the day that we recognize our nation's veterans. Tomorrow is the 11th, the official Veterans Day, but the federal recognition is today, the day before. So our hats off and our salute to all those veterans out there who served in the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, Coast Guard, and, like myself, the National Guard. Thank you for your service. We appreciate it. And today in What in the News, we're going to dedicate our focus to our nation's veterans by taking a look at what's happening with the CARERS Act. This is the act that, among other things, would allow Veterans Administration doctors to finally be able to recommend medical cannabis to their patients, our nation's veterans. So we'll get to that coming up in What in the News. Also on the program today, we'll have our cannabis headline news. Of course, we start everything off with that. We've got some news from Wisconsin on hemp. We've got some new recommendations coming out of California for medical marijuana. We've got a drive-through pot shop opening up in America. We've got some more election results to get to you from local elections having to do with cannabis in Colorado, Oregon, and Detroit, Michigan. Also coming up on the program today, we'll have time for our Reefer Rock Review. Herb Thrasher will be joining us to tell us all about what's going on with the latest album releases, the latest tours, and he's got a flashback look at 1981 Motley Crue. So we got that coming up in the middle of the show, right around the time we give you our anti-drug public service announcement of the day. Our guest on the program today joins us for the Cannabis Community Chat. It's Joshua Lanterman. He's from the National Association of Cannabis Businesses, and he's going to be talking to us about the need for self-regulation in the cannabis industry. If we don't regulate ourselves, you know that the states will. And then we'll finish things up with a radical rant that has to do with a story that I just got out of Lincoln, Nebraska yesterday involving an Oregon licensed processor who got busted with $1.1 million worth of shatter in Lincoln, Nebraska. So I got some opinions on that as far as what our seed to sale tracking system is doing to stop that kind of diversion. But first, the news.
This is your cannabis headline news, brought to you by MarijuanaMoment.net, the complete source for all your marijuana news in one morning newsletter from Marijuana Majority founder Tom Angel. Subscribe today for free at MarijuanaMoment.net.
This is your cannabis headline news for Friday, November 10th, 2017. I'm Russ Belville. The state of Wisconsin is poised to become the 32nd state in the United States to legalize industrial cultivars of cannabis known as hemp. Cannabadger.com reports that the bill to legalize hemp passed the state Senate on Tuesday in a unanimous 33-0 vote. On Thursday, the bill moved directly to the House floor and also passed unanimously 92-0. The bill awaits the signature of Republican Governor Scott Walker. Last month, WEAU-TV reported that Walker cited the opioid overdose crisis and marijuana's role as a gateway drug when he said, quote, "I have a concern in anything that would lead to legalization of marijuana," end quote. AP reports that the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation and the Wisconsin Farmers Union have both registered in favor of the bill. No groups have registered against it. Wisconsin produced 3/4 of America's domestic hemp during the World War II era Hemp for Victory program, with the last harvest taking place 60 years ago. The Medical Board of California has released an 8-page set of guidelines for the recommendation of cannabis for medical purposes. The guidelines state that physicians should document that an appropriate physician-patient relationship has been established, that a patient examination should include alcohol and substance use history with emphasis on addiction, psychotic disorders, or mental illness, and that patients should be counseled against marijuana use and driving. The document also outlines the steps to building a written treatment plan for the patient, with continued monitoring of the patient to adapt the plan to changing conditions. New changes in California's medical marijuana law prohibiting physician benefit or collusion with dispensaries or cultivation centers are also mentioned. The guidelines also include an example decision tree for physicians evaluating a hypothetical patient with neuropathic pain. The guidelines are just that and carry no force of law. Nuwu Cannabis Marketplace, located on tribal land near downtown Las Vegas, becomes the first drive-through marijuana shop in America today. According to the Las Vegas Sun, the drive-through is a converted $30,000 bank teller window shipped from Washington State last week, made of bulletproof glass and framed with bulletproof Kevlar material. At least two surveillance cameras line both the inside and outside of the window. Designed for elderly and handicapped customers who'd prefer not to leave their vehicles, the drive-through service will offer about 15 popular flower, edible, and concentrate products. While Nuwu is the first recreational drive-through, a medical marijuana dispensary drive-through opened on April 20th in Parachute, Colorado, and Allgreens Dispensary in Sun City, Arizona, opened a fast food-style drive-through for their medical marijuana-only facility on October 27th. AP reports on local results from Tuesday's election find that voters increasing taxes on marijuana in Colorado. The Vail Daily reports residents in Eagle County approved new sales and excise taxes on recreational marijuana. The taxes will start at 2.5% and eventually reach 5%. The Daily Sentinel reports the tiny western Colorado town of Dubuque recently approved a new sales tax of 5% on medical marijuana, even though the town has no dispensaries. Two proposals also on the ballot in northern Colorado communities that don't have rec businesses called for a 3% recreational marijuana sales tax in Longmont and a 7% sales tax on recreational marijuana in Berthoud. Also from AAP, residents in Creswell, Oregon have voted to maintain a ban on recreational marijuana sales. The Register Guard reports a marijuana startup based in the Southern Lane County community pushed for the initiative that brought a second vote on recreational marijuana sales. Voters last November narrowly approved a ban. This time, it was a landslide. Unofficial results from Tuesday's election show more than 80% of voters opting to keep the ban in place. But the Detroit News reports that two proposals that ease restrictions on medical marijuana dispensaries in Detroit were approved by voters Tuesday. Proposal A requires Detroit to opt into the state law that recognizes five licenses: growing, testing, processing, transporting, and provision centers. It eliminates all distance requirements for dispensaries near parks, daycares, liquor stores, and arcades. The distance requirement for churches and other medical marijuana facilities is reduced from 1,000 feet to 500. Opening hours for dispensaries are expanded by 2 hours, and Proposal B essentially expands the zones for medical marijuana facilities to operate. This has been your Cannabis Headline News for Friday, November 10th, 2017.
You're listening to The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
Hi, I'm Russ Belville from The Marijuana Agenda. If you appreciate my full-time dedication to reporting and analyzing the news about cannabis, consider becoming a patron of the show. For just $4.20 per month, you'll help keep my live stream and podcast free while earning yourself your own private ad-free podcast link for the show, as well as links to the supporting articles and data. For a $9.99 VIP subscription, you'll get all that plus my exclusive research, data tables, and graphics. Just log on to mjagenda.com and click the Become a Patron button today.
You're listening to The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
Looking for the 420 friendliest way to visit beautiful legal potland Oregon?
I'm Lori Duckworth, inviting you to come stay with us at Delta 9 House and Studios.
You get your own private room with queen bed and access to our high-speed Wi-Fi, premium entertainment system, and more.
We'll even cook you breakfast. Look us up on Facebook at Delta 9 House.
That's facebook.com/Delta9House.
Delta 9 House is booked through Airbnb.com, City of Portland, permit number 17-159855.
People say no to drugs.
It's really, really easy.
Adding more gasoline to the fire.
Lackadaisical.
Really tough, really big, really great.
To infect and rot our nation.
Dangerous gateway drugs.
We don't need to be legalizing marijuana.
To build and grow a stronger, healthier, and drug-free society.
What, what? In the news.
Today in What in the News, we take a look at our nation's veterans on this Veterans Day and the struggle they still face in trying to access medical cannabis. As we know, medical cannabis is a fantastic treatment for a numerous set of ailments that befall our veterans, including traumatic brain injuries, post-traumatic stress, chronic pain, neuropathic pain for those who've lost limbs, and so forth. But our federal government continues to stand in the way of access for these veterans. And a lot of these veterans end up taking opiate painkillers instead. And we know how much problem we've had with the opiate overdose crisis in this country. So it is a crime to our nation's veterans to continue to stand in the way of them getting access to cannabis. And we're not even talking about full-scale legalization in all 50 states. We're just talking about those veterans who live in states where medical cannabis has already been made legal by the voters of that state. We're talking about getting them some access. And so there is a bill that we're following at the federal level. Senator Cory Booker and a bunch of other senators have co-sponsored this bill. It's got bipartisan support, bicameral introduction, both House and Senate, called the CARERS Act. And the reason this is necessary, and I'm looking right now at the VA's website, Veterans Administration, and it states that, of course, cannabis is a Schedule I drug federally and that the Department of Veterans Affairs is required to follow all federal laws. As long as the FDA says that it's not a medicine, then VA doctors cannot recommend it and they can't even help the veterans access it, right? So it's not just enough that, you know, the VA doctor can't recommend the cannabis. The VA doctor can't sign the paperwork for medical cannabis, can't provide any help in getting that medical cannabis. And some other things that's important for our vets to know, you can't possess marijuana at a VA medical marijuana center or a VA medical center. I wish it was a VA medical marijuana center. At a VA center, VA grounds are federal land. And so federal law applies. Even if you're a registered medical marijuana patient, your state vets, leave the vape pen, leave the cannabis, leave that at home when you go to the VA. Of course, the doctors can't recommend, can't complete paperwork, cannot fill prescriptions. Well, obviously, there are no prescriptions for cannabis. It's recommendations. VA will not pay for any medical cannabis access. But the document goes on to say, this is from the VA. They say veterans are encouraged to discuss marijuana use with their VA providers. VA healthcare providers will record marijuana use in the veteran's VA medical record in order to have the information available in treatment planning. As with all clinical information, this is part of the confidential medical record and protected under patient privacy and confidentiality laws and regulations. Now, I know a lot of veterans out there will hear that and say, sure. And while we've made progress, and Michael Kravitz and the folks with the Veterans for Medical Cannabis Access, Veterans Cannabis Group, have done yeoman's work, pardon the pun, in getting this, getting the VA to stop canceling pain contracts for, you know, they had setups where veterans would have to sign a contract saying, you know, if they were going to get recommendation or they're going to get prescriptions for opiate painkillers, that if they were had any marijuana in their system, they'd lose their opiate painkillers. Right. And this was causing a lot of havoc for our veterans. We've gotten past that. We've at least gotten to the point where the VA is, in a sense, turning a blind eye, is not focusing on this and allowing the vets to mention it and not lose any of their treatment. But you wonder, you know, how much trust you want to put into that and how much the administration could change this kind of stuff on a whim. So veterans are still in need here. And that's where the CARERS Act comes in. Check the list of senators that are involved in this. You got Cory Booker, Kirsten Gillibrand, Al Franken, along with Representative Steve Cohen. So there's your Democrats, right? Some pretty high name Democrats, but you also have Senator Rand Paul, Lisa Murkowski, and Mike Lee on the Republican side. Then in the House, Representative Don Young, who's like, what, 190 years old now, right? He's like 83 or something. So bipartisan, four Republicans, four Democrats, some big names in there that are supporting this CARERS Act. And CARERS stands for, where's the acronym there? Compassionate Access Research Expansion and Respect States Act. And what it would do is it would amend federal law to allow the states to set their own policies. Basically, it's kind of a state's rights for medical marijuana. It would allow VA doctors to recommend medical marijuana to treat their conditions. Now, it's not legalization. It's not making this a determination for all 50 states. It's just the states that have passed medical cannabis laws, the 30 or so states now. So other 20 states, this isn't going to help them any. This is just for the vets in those states. Now, Senator Booker said, quote, "Federal marijuana policy has long overstepped the boundaries of common sense, fiscal prudence, and compassion. This bill will help ensure that people who can benefit from medical marijuana, from children suffering from chronic illnesses to veterans battling PTSD, can do so without worrying about the federal government standing in the way." And the other senators and congressmen that were asked about this had the same basic thing to say, which is, let's get the federal government out of the way in the states that have allowed medical cannabis access, especially when it comes to our veterans. So with bipartisan support for this, both sides of the aisle, both houses of Congress, with what was the latest Quinnipiac, 93% support in the polls for medical cannabis, with even 51% of Republicans supporting not just medical access, but legalization, you'd think this Carers Act would be a slam dunk. You just go right on through. A rare example of something both parties can agree to. A rare example of something that's hugely popular with the public. And especially as much as we've heard in this century about support the troops, support the troops, support the troops. You'd think this one's a simple one, right? Yeah. How many politicians have you heard recently complaining about NFL football players kneeling before the national anthem because they're disrespecting our troops and the flag they fought for and the freedoms we all enjoy? So where are these guys on the CARES Act? Where are the votes happening on the CARES Act? To me, whether or not some millionaire football player kneels or stands for the anthem is a pittance of a concern compared to whether or not our federal government stands in the way of our veterans getting the medical treatment they deserve. So I looked it up, and so far, the CARES Act, it's got two acts, right? Because it got the Senate bill, S-1374. Then you got the House bill, House Resolution 2920, got introduced on both sides. What's happened, right? On June 15th, in the Senate, the CARES Act was read twice and referred to the Committee on the Judiciary. And that's the last thing that happened with it. Yeah, June, folks. June 15th. We're talking, 4.5 months? 5 months? I'm counting in my head. That nothing has happened on the Senate side about this. Now, this Committee on the Judiciary... let's see if we can find the, we'll find that later. Let's go look at the House side. Has had a little bit more movement in the House. In the House, it was introduced on, again, June 15th, same as the Senate bill was introduced. It was referred to a couple committees who then referred it to different subcommittees. So there's three committees this was referred to: Veterans Affairs, Judiciary, Energy, and Commerce. They referred it to the appropriate subcommittees, which are Health, Subcommittee on Health, and the Subcommittee on Crime, Terrorism, Homeland Security, and Investigations. Now, I can understand it going to the Subcommittee on Health, but Crime, Terrorism, Homeland Security, and Investigations seems a little weird. The Health Subcommittee in the House has not called any hearings on this. Again, this action, I'm talking about the referrals, this was all the same day. This was all June 15th. Last thing to happen on this was June 15th. So in the House, it's Representative Michael Burgess. He's a representative from Texas. Michael Burgess is the one you want to get in touch with. And ask him this Veterans Day, why are you holding up the CARES Act? Why aren't you calling any hearings? Why aren't you calling any votes on the CARES Act? In the Committee on the Judiciary, this is the subcommittee. Let's see, Subcommittee on Crime, Terrorism, Homeland Security, and Investigations. The person that we're looking for there is the chairman, Jim Sensenbrenner from Wisconsin. Jim Sensenbrenner, this is the guy you want to look up from Wisconsin, who also has not called any hearings, not called any votes. These bills have been sitting there since June. It's Veterans Day. Our veterans shouldn't have to wait one more minute. Give them a call this weekend. Visit them in their state offices and ask why don't they support the troops.
Hey, bud. Let's party.
All right, that sound means it's 20 after. Time for us to take our union-mandated safety briefing. And we're getting safe today thanks to the folks at EcoPure Pens. Got a few of them here. This nice silver one is a hybrid. Thank you, EcoPure. Talk more about that on another show. Stay tuned. Our Reefer Rock Review is coming up and the public service announcement for the day.
The Oregon Marijuana Business Conference, the state's longest-running conference dedicated to the cannabis industry, is coming to beautiful Ashland, Oregon on the weekend of November 18th and 19th. You'll hear from influential state senator Floyd Prezansky, meet and greet with industry pros and the legendary Henry Rollins, and enjoy a free after-party featuring music from Hieroglyphics and Souls of Mischief. Visit OregonMBC.com to learn more and book your tickets now. That's OregonMBC.com for the Oregon Marijuana Business Conference.
The Marijuana Agenda. Kevin Sabet's boogeyman since 2012.
You have offended my family, and you have offended Shaman Temple.
Yes, might have gotten away with it too, if it wasn't for these blasted kids and their dogs.
Hi, I'm Russ Belville. Join me as I cover the marijuana agenda at the Oregon Marijuana Business Conference the weekend of November 18th and 19th in beautiful Ashland, Oregon. The OMBC is Oregon's biggest and longest-running conference dedicated to the cannabis industry and marijuana activism. You'll hear an extended interview with influential state senator Floyd Prezansky, a VIP reception and keynote address from the legendary Henry Rollins, and a free after-party featuring music from Hieroglyphics and Souls of Mischief. Plus, you'll get information from 40 industry exhibitor booths and be able to question members of the Oregon Liquor Control Commission regarding cannabis issues they'll be ruling on. Visit OregonMBC.com to learn more and book your tickets now. That's OregonMBC.com for the Oregon Marijuana Business Conference. We'll see you there. Now, in the interest of fair and balanced journalism, the Marijuana Agenda presents this anti-drug public service announcement.
What's up? We're Run DMC, and our rap's about something which there's no doubt. When it comes to drugs, just say no.
We've teamed up with the Drug Enforcement Administration and millions of people who won't fool with drugs. Not now, not ever.
Who wants to be involved with something that could rob you of your job, your future, your self-respect, your family, even your life? Nobody does.
That's why, when drugs are concerned, the only thing to do is just say no.
This has been an actual anti-drug public service announcement. To combat this and other drug war hysteria, listen to the Marijuana Agenda every weekday at 3 p.m. Pacific at live.mjagenda.com.
As we prepare for the weekend, we remember that the fight to end adult marijuana prohibition is as much about culture as it is about criminal justice. Music has always been at the forefront of revolution, and the marijuana movement is no different. Join us as we visit with Herb Thrasher, program manager at 420radio.org, for this edition of Reefer Rock Review.
What's up, everyone? Herb Thrasher, 420 Radio. Welcome to today's Reefer Rock for November 10th, 2017. So, last night, I got a chance to make it out to see Fu Manchu on their West Coast run right now with Moss Generator. Had a date in San Francisco, and then last night in Portland, on their way to Seattle tonight, heading up in Vancouver, BC on the 11th, and then heading into San Jose and closing out in Pioneer Town on 12/16, probably their last show of the year. What an amazing band. Fu Manchu had all it happening last night, as they always do. Some of you guys might know them as stoner rock all-stars. I mean, pioneers, freaking legends when it comes to that fuzz sound. So many great albums through the years, and have definitely supported the cause through many, many avenues that the Fu Manchu guys know all too well. All right, releasing today, we've got a band who has really taken the music world by storm, and that is Greta Van Fleet. They are releasing their double EP, From the Fires, today. So don't forget to check those guys out as well. This band, not too familiar with them, but I'm catching them on the news almost every day. And they seem to be putting out some great rock. So Greta Van Fleet, releasing From the Fires, double EP, today, out now. And speaking of more releases today, we've got a lot of releases from Frontiers Music. So we've got Sweet and Leech, Unified, from Frontiers Music, out today, November 10th. Also have Babylon AD with their album Relevation Highway, releasing today. And then we also have Jeff Scott Soto. Some of you might remember him from his days in Journey. Retribution, releasing today. And then we have The Dark Element, all through Frontiers Music, releasing today. And that's their self-titled album as well. Great rock. Frontiers is really, really taking a lot of the old school rock and the 80s sound and really, really categorize that and really bringing it back today and making it more relevant. All right, speaking of relevant, in the 80s, Scorpions will release album Acoustic, Born to Touch Your Feelings, Best of Rock Ballads, going to be released on November 24th, and a lot of their tracks, Still Loving You, Wind of Change, Holiday, When the Smoke is Going Down, House of Cards, and then there's actually a couple of new tracks on there, Melrose Avenue and Always Be With You. So Scorpions, one of those bands from Germany, touched the American rock world back in the 80s and never looked back. One reason I've always followed them is just their sound and the way they've been able to incorporate dual guitars, Matthias Jabs and Rudolf Schenker, Flying V alert right there. And Klaus Main always have a great voice. So Scorpions, one of those bands who have just been around, mainstay in the rock world, and have been able to kind of bridge the hard rock and heavy metal world together. All right, we got a birthday to celebrate. That's right. We've got Motley Crue releasing the great, great album, Too Fast for Love, back in 1981, today, November 10th. So many great songs on this album. Everyone might remember Livewire, On With the Show, Starry Eyes, Take Me to the Top. So this album was one of those that really catapulted this band onto the American rock stage. Ended up getting a gig at the U.S. Festival in Arizona back in the 80s. And that ended up just really, really taking them to a whole nother level. All right, shout out to Motley Crue. You guys have a great weekend. And I'm Herb Thrasher, 420 Radio, and this was your Reefer Rock Report right here exclusively on the Marijuana Agenda. Have a great weekend.
This episode was produced as part of the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville, the daily news and interview podcast covering the world of medical cannabis, adult marijuana, industrial hemp, and spiritual ganja. MJAgenda.com.
New beginner guitars and banjos are often constructed much better than ones built before your time. Why struggle? get a new instrument, or fix the old one. The trusted professionals at the Fingerboard Extension will evaluate your instrument for free. Repairs are priced for people who work for a living. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today, or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
There is nothing admirable, positive. There is nothing desirable about drugs.
Whatever you're smoking, it's not marijuana.
Hi, I'm Russ Belville from the Marijuana Agenda. If you're a cannabis brand looking to build trust and awareness within the community, consider becoming a sponsor of this program. Your message will be seen and heard by the most dedicated followers of marijuana policy reform, who are loyal and supportive of those brands that give back to the community. Just log on to MJAgenda.com and click the Become a Patron button to learn how your brand can also be featured in my live nationwide appearances. Thank you for your support.
The cannabis community is a diverse set of people from all walks of life. Conservative and liberal, black and white, straight and gay, rich and poor, and everyone in between. Learn more about the people we are freeing from adult cannabis prohibition in our cannabis community chat.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Cannabis Community Chat. I'm Russ Belville, and joining us today, we have Joshua Latterman. He's with the National Association of Cannabis Businesses. Joshua, welcome to the program.
Hey, Russ. Thanks for having me.
So NACB, the National Association of Cannabis Businesses, tell our listeners what this is all about. We've heard of a few different kind of business organizations in cannabis. What makes yours stand out?
Sure, it'd be my pleasure. And again, thanks for having me. I really enjoy participating with anyone who is sharing objective knowledge. I think that's what's going to push and elevate U.S. cannabis forward. So it's great to be on your podcast and your show, Russ. Perhaps I could share a little bit of small personal and professional background and then walk you through the NACB. If you're eager to understand us, you can take a look on the web at nacb.com. But, you know, just a little bit about myself. I'm a dad. I've got three great kids. I grew up in New York. And notably, I've served in financial services for over 20 years. Generally, I've been the right-hand person to someone who's either running a bank or a large family office or a portfolio company of a private equity. And my job has been to help understand and manage risk and to grow long-term businesses. And when I was younger, I survived pediatric leukemia. So when I come into cannabis here, I feel like I've been well equipped as an advisor. And I also have a whisper of a higher purpose in what I'm trying to do. And the team at the NACB, well, we are the first and the only self-regulatory organization for U.S. cannabis. And our aim is to safeguard the survival and to enhance the value of the most well-run and compliant cannabis businesses. If you have any listeners with financial services experience, Russ, we are the FINRA for U.S. cannabis. So, you know, what are we trying to solve? And it may not be that well known even, but despite being part of America's fastest growing industry in U.S. cannabis, the license holders face many serious threats to their survival and legitimate challenges to their growth, notably security, legitimacy, cost, and lack of resources. And as I speak with you today, I hope you'll hear a sense of urgency in my voice. And I'm addressing license holders in each state. And my concern is underscored by advice that we have heard from the highest lawyer in the land, Attorney General Sessions. And what I've heard him say and what I've seen in the press is that state law compliance is insufficient to be considered a legitimate business. And I believe he also has stated that his belief is that cannabis is not for good people. And he's also stated a belief that cannabis may have contributed to the opiate epidemic. And I'm not going to have any criticisms of the Attorney General. I'm restating what he has said. But the issue is clear to me as someone who's been in the law for 20 years. And if the industry doesn't act soon, it will lose the window to take control of its own future. And, you know, Russ, I'd love to, you know, hear your thoughts on this. Let me lay it out for you. I'd say that if we agree that in the past 12 months, legal U.S. cannabis has generated perhaps $7 billion, and if we take some of the more modest forecasts, I think we could probably agree that the industry is headed to $20 or $30 billion in the near future. Would you say that's right?
Yeah, that's the numbers I've been hearing generally.
Yeah. So I'll tell you, as someone who's been in financial services my whole career and been in front of regulators, you know, through the credit boom and the credit bust, I was in front of a number of federal regulators on behalf of my bank. And I can tell you that federal regulatory interest expands as the size of an industry expands. So if we have some presence of federal interest right now, and I'd say we do, we certainly heard from the DEA and the DOJ, at $7 billion of revenue, it is a certainty that when we hit $30 billion, there will be more federal interest. So there is a window right now to show the federal government that legitimate and responsible license holders see where we're headed, would prefer to regulate themselves, and are ready to stand up and to do this. And, you know, we believe that if the industry does not act soon, there'll be a whole new regime of comprehensive regulations that'll govern the industry. Compliance costs, will skyrocket, and it'll be hard to be a small license holder and business owner.
We've seen that for sure here in my home state of Oregon. There's been a lot of changes to the regulatory schemes as far as testing and testing for pesticides, testing for other contaminants. There's been issues with regulating the concentrates market, the edibles market. What are some of the areas that you feel NACB can help the states in putting these regulations together? And are you talking about influencing the state to craft these regulations, or are you looking for the state to, you know, keep hands off and let the industry craft its own settings and standards?
You know, I think I'm talking about a hybrid, Russ, of what you're suggesting. And the hybrid that the NACB offers, it's a proven solution. And what we're suggesting should be done is that if you are a license holder in a state, you absolutely have to be compliant with that state's rules and regulations. But what we see is that there is a growing body of rules that in any state, a license holder should consider expanding and adopting to show that they go above and beyond and they understand there are federal concerns. So to give you an example, we would hope to be of assistance to your good state of Oregon. We've met with a number of the government teams in the neighboring states. And what we have is a team of former federal experts. You know, our team is advised by former DEA chief of staff, FDA, White House counsel, our president, Andrew Klein. He's a former federal prosecutor. So what we're trying to do is to help the states better understand the federal concerns. And then in conjunction with license holders to build solutions which go beyond your state, but address what the federal government might like to see. So let me give you an example. You know, I'm 48 years old. I've never been a smoker, but I remember the lessons of Joe Camel, right? And probably some of the listeners have never even heard of this, but, you know, Joe Camel was an icon for cigarettes back when we didn't think cigarettes were bad for us. And the cartoons and the marketing for Camel were really captivating. And by any standard, they were somewhat childlike. Right. And eventually the courts came to the conclusion that if you're going to be in the business of selling cigarettes, you cannot make them appealing or market them to children. So when we look at our industry, I'll give you an easy example. I love the strain that's called Girl Scout cookies. I don't want to rain on anybody's parade, but I would suggest that if you wanted to be a proactive business owner, you might consider not using names that are so kid friendly for any strains going forward.
And you might consider, that's something that's happened here in the state of Oregon. Actually, our regulators came up with that rule. You had to change the names of the strains, and now they're calling them GSC. Girl Scout cookies is now GSC, for example.
Right. Even a dummy like me can figure that out. And then it's not marketing to the children. But I can tell you that it's not in every state, and it's not successfully enforced as well as it should be. So one of the first easy rules that the SRO is going to adopt are rules related to marketing to children and to packaging. And we're going to continue down additional rules that will be rules that the license holders receive as draft recommendations from our federal experts. And we have a team already in the NACB of businesses we call founding members. We have, I think, at least 13 of them. Some of them include some notable names you may have heard of, Dixie or Cresco, GTI, Aunt Zelda's. I think that we'll have 20 to 30 of these founding members before year end, and we have a very deliberate process. So we say if you're going to be successful, you need to show you're compliant with your state law. You need to decide to go above and beyond the state law and develop these non-existing federal concerns, address federal concerns like what the Treasury Department, the FDA, soon the EPA will suggest about our growth and our usage of electricity. And what we do is to distill these various federal concerns with our team, and then we present them to our founding members in weekly discussion groups. And, you know, this goes, and I'll take it on the chin here. I'm a lawyer for over 20 years. And one of the things I've learned is lawyers by themselves make poor rules and poor regulations. We have an idea of what the rule needs to be to address the solution, but you must incorporate business owners to understand if the rule will work, if it will address the purpose it was meant to solve, and also if it won't be unduly burdensome and just shut down the industry because, you know, a 0.0 pesticide standard is something that will be impossible. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, Joshua. And it's something I want to see more of the businesses and more of the industry get involved with. The more we can head off these regulators at the pass, I think the better for all of us. And I'm interested to see what National Association of Cannabis Businesses will have to offer in that regard. I do want to take things in another direction because I've got you on the line and someone who's got, you know, your depth of experience in the financial world. I've got to ask you about the federal banking issues that our industry has to deal with. I mean, it seems like they want to portray marijuana as being this out of control, violent market. But of course it is if you make us be all cash. How can NACB help us in that regard?
Sure thing. So going back to what our SRO is going to do, we are going to deliver software as a service in 2018. And our software as a service, which will be provided to each of our members, will confirm that they are compliant with their state law, compliant with these national standards we're building, and meet enhanced due diligence standards on the banking side. And this reflects something that will become an auditable record, their compliance with their state, their compliance with their voluntary national standards, and proof that they're not a money launderer by surveilling their bank account if a license holder has a bank account. And so I would say that the first step towards really moving towards tier one banking is beginning to develop an auditable ledger of record. And, you know, that's what we're intending to deliver. But separate from the NACB, I'm happy to give a little bit more specific advice because I was a control officer for a public bank. I did go in front of the federal government on a regular basis, and I have an understanding of their concerns. And, you know, if you go back to 9/11, and I did as a young control officer in financial services, you learned a very hard lesson that if money is not tracked when it moves through our capital markets and on the federal wire system, it can be used for terrible purposes. And so all of us that experienced that tragedy learned the importance of tracking money as it moves through our financial system. And so if you apply this to cannabis today, I think that the Treasury and the DEA and the DOJ have legitimate concerns about ensuring that El Chapo or other real gangsters don't get access to our capital markets. Now, I can hear you saying and your listeners thinking, well, I'm not that guy, so what can I do? How can I solve that? And the way to solve it, if you are a good player, I think, is transparency and intimacy with whichever bank is ready to provide you some level of support. And I think that the best solutions are available on a state-by-state basis. If you are willing to become very close and very transparent and take the advice of local, state, or community banks or credit unions, then in the long haul, what I would say is cannabis needs to grow up a little bit. Because if you're asking for banking privileges and we're trying to overcome the current fact that cannabis is federally illegal, I would say that cannabis needs to become like other more legitimate industries and not be as wild in the streets with its rebellious culture, begin to express itself in a more constructive voice to show some understanding of why the federal government has these issues. And then maybe we can get a bit more collaborative. That's certainly the mission for our members at the NACB.
Joshua Latterman from the National Association of Cannabis Businesses. We've talked about the banking issue, the issue of self-regulation. Are there any other areas you'd like to tell our listeners about with respect to NACB and its services?
Hey, well, that's a real pleasure for your invitation. You know, I think that I would just say to your listeners, please check us out, NACB.com. We're on the Facebook and on LinkedIn and on YouTube. I am always interested in receiving valuable input. So if you're in the industry, please reach out to us. And specifically, if you're going to be in Las Vegas in the coming weeks for the business conference, we'll be in booth 4738. So we'd love to have you stop by.
That sounds great. Check out the NACB booth, National Association of Cannabis Businesses, at the MJ BizCon in Las Vegas. NACB.com if you want to check them out online. Joshua, thanks so much for joining us and giving us a little bit of your expertise today.
Great stuff.
This episode was produced as part of the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville, the daily news and interview podcast covering the world of medical cannabis, adult marijuana, industrial hemp, and spiritual ganja. MJAgenda.com.
The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville is brought to you by Cannabis Kamikaze, a professional licensed producer from Canada producing 3 pounds per light. Follow Cannabis Kamikaze on Twitter at Cannabis Kamikaze. That's at Cannabis, K-A-M-I-K-A-Z, Cannabis Kamikaze.
You're not high. You're listening to The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
We need to say, as Nancy Reagan said, just say no. Don't do it. There's no excuse for this.
Okay, maybe you're a little high.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 1920s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
Health Cannabinoid, your ACMPR experts. Consultation services for medical cannabis. Visit healthcannabinoid.com or call 1-800-906-1383. That's www.healthcannabinoid.com or call 1-800-906-1383. Health Cannabinoid.
Total war against public enemy public number one.
10 federal criminal penalties for up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
Marijuana is probably the most dangerous drug.
Legalization is just another word for surrender.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
This is not medicine. This is a Cheech and Chong show.
Encourage people to use less drugs.
I am ill.
That was the point.
I think we'd be a mistake to legalize.
Negative reports coming out of Colorado.
Good people don't smoke marijuana.
Yesterday, law enforcement in Lincoln, Nebraska, arrested Richard Wilkinson, age 38, of Damascus, Oregon. Cops believed his U-Haul van and another vehicle were following too closely. When they approached the van, cops could smell marijuana. After a search, the police recovered 110 pounds of cannabis flower, 25 pounds of cannabis extracts in shatter form, 3,500 cannabis seeds, and uncounted vials of hash oil. Now, Wilkinson, the problem is that he's a licensed cannabis processor in the recreational cannabis market right here in the Oregon marijuana program. He's got a company called Rich Extracts, and it's governed by strict regulations promulgated by the Oregon Liquor Control Commission. Those regulations include detailed security requirements that include massive video surveillance and a so-called seed-to-sale tracking system. So, how did 110 pounds of weed and 25 pounds of shatter escape this detailed electronic tracking? Well, the answer is provided by the cops in Lincoln, Nebraska. Lancaster County Sheriff Terry Wagner said, quote, "On the East Coast, shatter sells for $100 a gram," end quote. Math and metric conversion tell us that 25 pounds of shatter is $1,133,980 worth of shatter alone if sold by the gram. Then the 110 pounds of flour, if you sold it by the ounce, would bring in at least another $500,000. With that level of profit motive, there is no tracking system in the world that can overcome the law of supply and demand. East Coast tokers want what West Coast growers have. This notion that we can institute a seed-to-sale tracking system to keep track of a living, breathing cannabis plant all the way down to the gram is absurd. We used to labor under a draconian seed-to-sale tracking system that was called Prohibition. In that system, absolutely every seed and absolutely every sale tracked by the cops was punishable by criminal penalties far exceeding what licensed entities now face under legalization. So, if Prohibition and the threat of serious prison time never stopped West Coast weed from traveling east, what made anybody think a bunch of barcoded zip ties and some data entry was going to stop it? The reason the reason we've tried these seed-to-sale tracking systems is because the states that are legalizing want to assure their neighbors they will clamp down on out-of-state diversion. After all, the Cole memo told them to. And every prohibition state bordering a legal state can tell you that's bullshit. When we had prohibition, weed flowed across their state borders, and as we end prohibition, more weed flows across their state borders. And I know the prohibitionists are giddy about this latest arrest. I follow them on Twitter. They're blowing this up. And I know many of you are listening to me going, "Damn, Belleville, whose side are you on?" But I have to be intellectually honest about this. Marijuana policy is like gun policy or pollution policy. You can't contain it within the borders of a state. Illinois, Chicago, can pass the toughest gun laws it wants, but nearby Gary, Indiana, where the gun laws are lax, make Chicago's laws moot. Hell, the whole world can decide to get tough on climate change, but as long as the United States is leaving the Paris Accords, that just means the planet will still get hotter. All these seed-to-sale systems and security and tracking regulations and video requirements, all they do is increase the cost to the producer, to the processor, to the retailer, and eventually to the consumer. And that keeps the cost of marijuana artificially high. And keeping the cost artificially high is a subsidy to the underground retailers who don't have those costs. And then that feeds the prohibitionist talking point that the black market is thriving in legal states. But the greatest affront to the marijuana consumers due to this quixotic quest to digitally track weed down to the gram comes to the people on the medical side of the ledger. As the eight states with recreational legalization are endeavoring to reconcile their medical programs with this new recreational reality, The growers and processors on the medical side are being regulated and surveilled like never before. Now, these aren't people who were greedy and got into growing marijuana for the green rush. Well, okay, some of them were, but those folks are mostly gone to the recreational side by now. The ones left in medical are some of the most compassionate caregivers upon whom many of the sickest, most disabled people depend on medicine being grown for them at low cost, or sometimes no cost, that affords these patients a decent quality of life. What we hear from the states, though, is, oh, medical marijuana is rife with abuse. It's a cover for black market dealing. It's an unfair market competitor to licensed recreational entities, and so on and so on. And in response, states all over have severely curtailed plant counts. They've cut down possession limits. They've reduced access points, and they've even limited the number of patients that a caregiver can grow for. After all, they figure, you know, if we're going to be tracking recreational weed down to the gram, or pretending like we're going to, well, we've got to apply similar standards to the medical side, or else the cheaters and the schemers will just get onto the medical side as a way to skirt the recreational regulations. So now, I see a growing number of patients here in Oregon who are losing their longtime medical growers because, well, these growers figure, hell, if I have to jump through all the hoops the rec side has to, I might as well make the money the rec side makes. And this is after the state raised the medical marijuana card fee for the patient to $200 annually, added another $100 fee a patient must pay to register for a third-party grower, and coming up soon, some of these growers have to pay a $480 fee on top of that to be able to care for four patients. I know some patients who've already gone through $400, $600 this year in fees alone after going through growers and replacing them. Look, the systems in place here, if they're intended to track cannabis down to the gram, and they fail to track 110 pounds of cannabis leaving the state, it seems pretty clear to me the seed-to-sale tracking is a feel-good fiction. It only succeeds in raising cannabis prices, subsidizing in-state illicit markets, depleting patients' resources, and providing prohibitionists with this easy, oh look, legalization doesn't work, in their talking points. See, no matter what amendments or laws or regulations we pass concerning marijuana, we can never repeal the law of supply and demand. The only real solution to any problem anyone has with cannabis, our side or their side, is nationwide descheduling of cannabis and all 50 states providing some means of reasonable access. And even then, even with complete nationwide legalization, there will still be discrepancies between state regulations that lead to interstate diversion. I mean, hell, cigarettes are legal, but there's a booming illegal cigarette trade going from North Carolina to New York because of the discrepancy in the taxes and the regulations there. So it's time for us to think about adjusting our laws and to seriously take a look at what medical marijuana is going to be as we move forward into the future. There, I understand the need and the want for having strong regulations and licensing and so forth, but we've got to find some way to identify the truly altruistic growers out there who are producing cannabis for the truly sick and disabled, and find a way to protect them from this industry becoming just a bunch of predatory capitalists. I believe in the greatest amount of legalization possible to reduce the prices for everyone and to eliminate the prohibition subsidies. But until we can get there, it's time for us to start really considering how we're going to protect the most vulnerable among us. All right, that's all the time we got for today. Quick announcement also, before we go, I will be in Las Vegas next week. Just got hired for a gig there. So I will be in Las Vegas Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday for the MJ Business Daily convention there, the marijuana convention, the biggest convention all year. It's my first time attending it. I'm really looking forward to it. We'll talk more about it next week. For everyone here at Delta 9 Studios, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
Follow MJ Agenda on Facebook, Pinterest, Instagram, YouTube, and follow MJ Agenda Show on Twitter. Learn more at MJAgenda.com. You plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
you take a scene, you plan it, you grow it, you try it, you